somebody new is coming to their village, they have to watch out. And it's very dangerous sometimes. When they go there to preach, sometimes if they don't like, they kick you out. And they do all kinds of things. But our evangelists are committed to go back no matter what happens. Some of them are beaten by the villagers. Some of them are beaten by the rebel groups. And even though these things are happening, our evangelists are very committed to spread the gospel to these people. And because these are people living in the jungles, way away from the rest of the people, they don't get to hear the gospel. They don't have radios. They don't have TVs. They're isolated. If somebody don't go there to preach, they don't get to hear the gospel. And when they go there, they watch how they live and what they are in need of. And they tell us, these people are very poor. They don't have food. They don't have clean water. Please help these people. And we pray about that. And sometimes we send food with these evangelists. They provide sometimes clothes they take and they give it to them. And when they told, when they tell us about the water, sometimes they have to walk 2-3 miles to a water hole or a canal, which is a dirty water, polluted water. They drink that water, and most of them are sick most of the time. And when they tell us, we pray about this need and tell the churches and people donate the money to drill bore wells. And we send the money to them and say, go ahead and drill bore well for this village. When we drill these bore wells, they are so happy to have a clean water. Because they are drinking clean water, their health being improved. And we're not only giving them clean water, we are sharing the gospel with them. They are exposed to the gospel. And they hear about Jesus. And some of them are coming to know the Lord. And these evangelists that go there, they start the churches. Praise the Lord. And when they finish drilling the bore wells, they call us and say, the bore well is ready. If you would like to come, we can have a meeting and dedicate the bore well. And we travel there. Sometimes we have to travel 5, 6, 7 hours to get to these villages. And when we were there this time, we drilled 8 bore wells. Altogether, all these years, we drilled over 150 bore wells. That means 150 villages get to hear the gospel. And they're not only drinking the clean water, they're not only living healthy lives, but they are receiving the gospel and accepting Jesus as the Lord and Savior. When I went to the dedicated bore well, we were in around the bore well, and all the villagers gathered. And a lady came with a red sari and a red dot, big red dot on her forehead. She looks kind of strange. And I kept watching, and our evangelist told me that lady is demon possessed. Watch, she may scream in the middle of the meeting. And I said, why? When I was here last time to share the gospel, she started screaming when I went there, and she didn't quit until after I leave. And after the dedication, I felt led to go and pray for her. I walked up to her and said, can I pray for you? She didn't say a word. She just looked at me strange. And I stood there and I was stretching my hand to touch her. She said, don't touch my head. And I prayed for her. And after prayer, she stood there motionless. I believe God touched her and set her free. We see this quite often in India. One time I was speaking in a church. My concentration was on a man was sitting there sitting on the floor. I felt led to call and pray for him. I thought, I wait until the message is over and then I call him. After the message is over, before even I called, this man got up and came to me and started talking to me. And she said he was a Catholic. And he started coming to this church. But my wife is a demon possessed. I said, where is she? She's at home. I would like for you to come and pray for her. And I said, okay, right after lunch, we come over and we pray for her. I took a few pastors with me and we went to that house. They are living on the second floor. And we got up there. By the time we went in, they were all standing in line and waiting for us to go there. And I came into the door and I felt like I shouldn't go close to her. I was at the door and I said, I'm going to pray for you. I was praying. All of a sudden, I heard a big thump. I opened my eyes and she was right on the face up, on the face of the floor, on her face. And they were all crying, what happened, what happened? I said, nothing happened. She will be up in a few minutes. She will ask for water. Get the water ready. I walked up to her then, and I laid my hand and prayed for her. Within a few minutes, she got up and said, I want water. Then we gave her the water. And she was completely normal. Praise the Lord. She was set free. And we see this quite often when we go to these meetings and like that. So we went to another borewell. We traveled 7 hours. It was a rainy day. We drove in the rain for 7 hours. We were hoping to have a clear sky and we can open the borewell. After we traveled so far, get to the village very close, and there was a riverbed. And there was the river. The riverbed was flowing with raging water. And some evangelists and the villagers have been waiting for us since morning to get there. They were waiting at the river. Some of them crossed, some of them are other side, they couldn't cross. And when we get to the river, we looked at that and it was looks very dangerous. And we stayed there for a few minutes and they said, we have brought a couple of chairs. We want you to sit on the chair and we carry you through the river. And we said, we looked at that and she's like, it's very dangerous. And I thought it's not a good idea. But they forced us, please come and have a service there. But we couldn't go. The river was flowing really high, really fast. And we stood there at the shore for a couple of hours. And a group of young men came to us and started talking to me. And they said, we were Hindus. We had the gospel and we became Christians. Now we have a burden to share the gospel with the people all around us in the surrounding villages. They never heard the gospel. we want to share the gospel with these people. And they said, you pray for us, and if you could help us anyway, that would help us. We don't have any jobs here. It's very difficult to get food to eat. If you help us some financially, we can spend our time preaching the gospel. I told them, you pray about this, and I'll pray also. If God wants us to work together, God will help me, and then I will help you. So we didn't cross that river. And we were going back to the next village where they have some motels. And during our travel, all of a sudden, I got sick as a dog. I was vomiting. It was very bad. And we got to the motel and we stayed there that night and we traveled back home. And we told one of our evangelists, when the rains subside, you go there and dedicate the borewells and send the pictures to us. And it was very, very remote area. We have to drive through mud roads and big, big ditches. And it was like very scary to drive through those roads. Praise the Lord. But these people are so happy to have a borewell. And they are ready to go and share the gospel with other people. Praise the Lord. I go back to my son Jesse. Like this August 15th, that's our Independence Day for India. And he conducted a special rally with all the youth. They made it like a big program. Like they set up lighting and tents and chairs for the people to come. And in the morning, all the youth walked through the streets singing and then distributing tracts about the meeting that night. And about 200-300 people gathered that night. And also, not only the Independence Day celebration, but they invited some guest speakers to share the gospel. And after when we started preaching, it started raining. And we thought, we probably can't continue this. We have to stop the meeting. And we prayed, God, they spent all this money and all this work. Please help us to finish this meeting. The rain stopped. And we finished the meeting, and they had a fireworks at the end, and everybody was so happy. And we praised God for that. And our daughter Stacy came to me one day with a few of her friends, and they said, we are thinking about conducting VBS in our church. We want to talk to you about that. I said, if you are want to conduct, go ahead and do it. And they said, okay, we will be ready. And they were ready in 1 week. They wrote all the program and everything. They practiced, and they had the VBS. The first day, before everybody come, it started raining. Actually, it started raining from May. Torrential rains. Even today, it's still raining. Everywhere floods. We had 3 times flooded in our area. A lot of people died because of that. A lot of people lost homes. And we prayed that God stopped the rain. And they conducted the VBS. About 200 some children came. And they were so happy. And the program was very excellent. And they proclaimed the gospel. They sang. And they trained the children. They taught games and all that. Children were very happy to be there. And after the third day, we closed. After everybody left, it started raining. Praise the Lord. And we are so grateful. Our God is good. Amen. I want to share Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's Jesus' own word about the express purpose of what he came for. We all know the story in chapter 19 about Zacchaeus. Jesus was going to Jerusalem. And before he entered Jericho, he prayed for a blind man. His eyes were opened immediately. And all the people were so excited about that. And they were gathered around him and they were traveling through Jericho. And this blind man who was healed, who was also with Jesus, praising him. When Jesus was traveling, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. It's not just a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. He's the boss. And he was wealthy. And also the scripture says he was short. This man is very wealthy. And see, he didn't have any friends. Everybody hated him. He was the most hated person in Jericho because he was collecting more than he's supposed to be. And everybody hated him and they didn't like him. And Zacchaeus, probably with all the money he had, he was miserable. He didn't have peace in his life. And he heard that Jesus was coming. And he also heard that he loved tax collectors. Jesus called Matthew when he was sitting at the tax booth. He called him, "Come and follow me." Zacchaeus probably heard that story. And also Jesus went with sinners and tax collectors to their homes for dinner. He heard all these stories and he wanted to see Jesus. And he came to the street where Jesus was walking. There were thousands of people around him, praising him, and they were walking. Because he is short, he couldn't see through all these people. But he was discouraged. This is not my day. Maybe another day I can see him. He didn't say that. He has a great desire. He wanted to see Jesus. He thought about it. What should I do? How can I see him with all these people? If I go into these people, somebody probably beat me up. And he thought, I run ahead and climb a tree and see from there. And he was the main purpose that Jesus was coming through Jericho. He was in his mind. The Zacchaeus was in Jesus' mind. He came to the spot where Zacchaeus was, and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house. I want to stay with you." Zacchaeus didn't hesitate to come down. He didn't have any fear of people, what they are going to do. His eyes are on Jesus, and he didn't think about anything else. And he came down quickly, and he took him. Jesus said, "I'm inviting myself to your house. I want to have a dinner with you. I want to stay with you." And he took him to his house, and he said, "Jesus, I give half of my possessions to the people. And I give four times if I cheated anybody." There was a big change in Zacchaeus' life. He was scared, and he was a sinner, and he cheated people, gained a lot of money, riches, but he didn't have peace before he came to Jesus. When he came to Jesus, when Jesus spoke to him, "Come down, I want to be with you. I want to stay at your house." That's what Jesus is telling us to do today. "I want to come to your house. I want to be with you. I want to live with you." Jesus is knocking at the door. "Any of you hear me? Open the door. I want to come into your house." If we don't have Jesus in our heart, we don't have peace. Even though we have everything we need, we don't have peace. He's asking us, he's calling us, he's knocking at our heart, saying, "Can you open your heart to me? I will take away all your fears. I can take all of your anxiety. I will fill you with my peace." He's inviting us. He's inviting himself to come to our heart. And here, Zacchaeus, as soon as he opened his house and his heart was opened and he received Jesus, and his life was completely changed. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new." We may be doing a lot of things that God doesn't want us to do. We're doing many things that God don't like. But he loves us. He came to seek and to save that is lost. That's the main purpose that Jesus left heaven and came to earth. All the prophecies were fulfilled about him. 750 years before he was born in Bethlehem, all the prophecies that proclaimed that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come. And he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He was born to a virgin. All those things were promised, prophesied, were fulfilled. Jesus came and he fulfilled all those prophecies. And he was crucified for our sake, to save us. He was bruised for us. He shed his blood for us. And he wants to come and stay in our heart. Guide us. Lead us. Just like Zacchaeus opened his heart, opened his house, his life was changed. If we don't know the true God, his peace, we may be coming to church, but our hearts never changed. But God is looking to change our hearts, change our lives. God is looking to use us. Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save that was lost. And before he was ascended to heaven, he gave a commandment to his disciples. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow you. When you lay hands on the sick will be recovered. Those who accept me, they will be baptized. Those who don't believe, they will be condemned. And this is the main purpose that Jesus came and he lived on this face of this earth to seek and to save that was lost. We were all once lost. And our life was very miserable before Jesus. Somebody came and shared the gospel with us. Because of that, our lives changed. Because of us, our families are becoming Christians and our communities getting to know Jesus through our love. Because of our love, they can see that we are his disciples. We have to live a Christian life. We have to walk a Christian walk. Not just a talk. We have to be the doers of the word. And I feel led to read a scripture, 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And here Jesus is saying, humble yourselves. Therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We may be worrying about things. If we submit ourselves to Jesus, he will see that we are cared for, and in due season, he will lift us up. And also it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We see that today. Everywhere, confusion, no peace, hatred. Satan knows that his time is short. He's very active throughout the world. He's going through the same things. Satan is actively deceiving even Christians. So be strong, be courageous, be alert, and pray that God will give us strength. Praise the Lord. If we are not alert, Satan will deceive us in many ways. It starts with a small thing, and it defeats us. So be alert. These days we are living in difficult times. I don't want to go through all those things, but we all know what is happening in this country, and we know what's happening in the other countries as well. Satan is very active. There are so many Christians are being persecuted. There are so many Christians in India also being killed for the sake of Jesus. We have to lift them up in our prayers. In Nigeria, there are so many Christians are being killed. It's going throughout the world. The Christianity is the largest religion in the world. But we are looked down like we are nothing. We are despised, looked down. But we know who we are. If we know who we are, we can lift up our head even in the midst of difficult times, troubles, trials, no matter what comes at us. We will have the strength and courage to go through those things. God will be with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. Please continue to remember India. The evangelists are ready to preach the gospel, but we need to send them out. We need to support them. If any of you would like to help those evangelists to spread the gospel in the remote jungles, that people never heard the gospel. These are the people these our evangelists are going to. They are going to seek and to save the lost. Just like what Jesus did, they are going out into the villages in the midst of difficult times. They go there. Some places they have to walk for miles to get to these villages. And they go there and share the gospel. And there are so many of them are now becoming Christians. We are starting churches in those villages. So God gave us an opportunity. God gave us a chance to spread the gospel wherever we are. So please pray about India. There are so many people never heard the gospel still in the remote jungles. And pray for our children homes. The children would come back and we continue to help them. There are so many lives are being changed and transformed, and some became pastors, evangelists. The children that grew up in our children's homes, and they're sharing their testimonies now with the people and sharing the gospel to the people. And if you have any questions, I give you a couple of minutes.
What is your current need right now? Oh, sorry.
I was just thinking when you said you and the other pastors went to the home of a woman that was
possessed.
When you went there in prayer, could you please give an example of what you said, how you went about it?
I didn't get that.
How you went about the prayer, how you did it.
How I did it? I think when we go to these places, sometimes you can feel the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. And first, when I walked through the door, I didn't feel led to go close to her. So I stopped there, and I prayed from there. When I prayed, God touched her. And she fell on her face. And she was set free immediately. She got up, and she was happy. And I believe that's a great testimony to her family and also to the community. That answer my question? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
There is so much demon activity in India. Used to be a lot more than what is there now. And we used to cast out demons all the time.
You mentioned the evangelists is one of the areas you need funds for, but are you guys still sponsoring children? Or
yes.
Yeah,
we have the brochures and the newsletter. If any of you would like to help a child, we still have some children need sponsors. You can take the newsletter and the brochure. Brochure have all the information. You can send it in, and I can send you the child picture and the family background.
When did you and your wife first come to Christ? How old were you?
I was 14 when I came to Jesus. And I went to a children's home when I was 13. That's where I heard the gospel. After 1 year I was there, one day I was in a meeting like this, and I started crying and asked Jesus to come into my heart and change my life. And he came in and changed my life. And then he showed me that he's going to bring me to this country and use me to help the children back in India and spread the gospel. That's what happened. I think she was raised in a Christian home, but after we got married, she recommitted her life to Jesus.
Well, Jacob, thank you very much for sharing. I am always enamored with those stories that you share of God's hand in India. the thought of casting out a demon here in America, it's a little scary for me, but it sounds like it's something that is a pretty normal occurrence, you know, India for
yes.
Sure, but it demonstrates certainly the power of the Lord. And thank you for sharing a few things. I know I personally am encouraged by what you were sharing about your children. We have a lot of young parents or young marrieds here that are looking to have kids potentially someday, and it's a testimony as you raise them up in the Lord, you know, they won't depart from that even as they grow older. And now they're living for Christ and impacting their community. So I think we need to be encouraged, you know, by that, some of our younger folks, and even for those of us that wish we had a do-over with some of our kids sometimes, we can continue to pray for them, right, and go from there. And I've even encouraged, too, about the evangelists, and thank you for sharing that you have some needs with that. Sounds like the persecution is there
yes. In
a big way, suffering beatings and things along those lines, but God is changing lives, you know, India, and he's alive here as well.
Yeah.
And while it may not be as outwardly dramatic, you know, here, the need's the same. You know, there's many people like Zacchaeus who are isolated, alienated. Society has chosen not to connect with them anymore. And they need the love of Jesus Christ. And like you shared, he came to seek and save the lost. Amen? Amen. So let's pause if we could pray for his ministry. Jay, I'm wondering if you could come up and join us, please. That would be great. And then we'll pray for our food as well and our time of fellowship. Father, I thank you for the message today from Jacob and Jaya and what you're doing in India through Hope Ministries and even through the lives of their children and the evangelists out there. I ask, Lord God, that you would help us as we think about the message today, that, Lord, you came to seek and save that which was lost. Lord God, you've gifted us each in a unique way, and Satan would have us to be insecure, but Lord, we can go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, build relationships with people, and point people to you. And so we pray for the ministry in India and ask that it continue to advance the gospel for your kingdom, and I pray the same here in each of our lives as well. Show us too, Lord, how we can support, whether it's through a child, through an evangelist, the support of one, or even through a bore well, Lord God. And if we feel led to go ahead and help build one of those, which is life-changing for many of them. We also thank you for this time of Friendship Sunday downstairs. We thank you for the blessing of the food. We ask it nourish our bodies for your service, and we would enjoy fellowship with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.